almost drank all my water already. Before we get started, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are grateful for this time that we can come together tonight and remember your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, and in your word. And we just thank you for him, Father. And I just pray, as I share tonight with my brothers and sisters here, that you would use the word, Father, to bring glory and honor to your Son, and that that everyone here would be edified by what is shared tonight. And Father, just thank you once again for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. In Christ's name we pray, amen.
I was getting a little worried there for a minute because it was looking a little peaked in here. I didn't think nobody was going to show up. So, but I appreciate it. Now they're coming in droves. Before we get started, I wanted to share a couple things with y'all tonight. Y'all know how rough it is for me to stand up here in front of y'all and speak, so I'm not a really, you know, a talking in front of people type person, but I'm trying to do this. But I just wanted to tell a couple of people, and you know who you are, that I really appreciate your cards and your letters that you sent me to encourage me. I just wanted to tell y'all I really appreciate that. So thank you very much for that. And also something else that me and Della want to praise the Lord for is that we found out that this Friday that we're going to sign the papers for Nathan. So that's going to stop the adoption process. I also want to thank Joseph for throwing the football with me before I come here to help me calm down some. So. But tonight, I was just a million miles an hour in different directions. I didn't know what, and Ray's plus like, man, you got to get in there, Danny, you got to get started. You got to get started. So I started one thing and I trashed it and found something else. So I hope the Lord will help lift you up with what I got to share tonight. When I first become a Christian, I didn't understand very well the blood sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can remember one Sunday when I was at the worship service, and you know, in college they start all these different controversial things to try to get you to trip up and fall and all this other stuff. Well, they had this man that came up and he said, well, you know, the cross of Jesus Christ is just the form of execution that they used at that point in time. And it didn't really matter how the Lord Jesus Christ died. And as I got to think about it more and more, it is important that the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross. And the reason I was thinking about that is because these two verses I was looking at, it says, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. That's Matthew 26:28. And almost all things are by law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And after I thought about those two verses, I realized how wrong I was, and that the cross was where the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Father decided to put him to be sacrificed for our sins. And there's no hope without the shedding of our Savior's blood. There are a lot of places right now that they don't, you know, they'll talk to you about, you know, how you, you know, feel good and everybody be happy and do good and this. But there's a lot of places that will still, for some reason, they don't want to talk about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to talk about the sacrifice. They just want to talk about the good stuff all the time. And they don't want to talk about that day at Calvary. And also, here lately, it's been burdening my heart because I missed a couple of days because of vacation, but we've been studying in 1 Peter. And I was thinking of a verse where it says, for as much as you know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, for your vain conversation receive a tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, And I just started thinking about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and how precious it is to us and how we should never take it for granted and that we should always show appreciation for His sacrifice for us. So what I decided to do is I'd go through, and I had one brother help me a little bit because I was trying to get things straight. So we were talking about some different verses, and I'm going to share them with you tonight, and maybe this will give you a better appreciation for the Lord Jesus Christ's blood and His sacrifice. One verse, I'm going to give y'all verses now so that way y'all have them, and that way I ain't got to stop. And I can just go. The first verse is in 1 John 1:7 through 1 John 1:9, then Hebrews 13:12, then Hebrews 10:14 through Hebrews 10:20. This is a lot of verses, y'all. Romans 5:9, Ephesians 2:11 through 2:13. Colossians 1:19, and that there will be the end of them. So let's start here with 1 John 1:7. It says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And I was thinking, and I was checking out some commentaries too to help me direct my thoughts and get me right. So this one, Adam Clark, I think it's in the E sword, and I was checking it, and this stood out to me. It says, "As the blood of Jesus Christ, the merit of His passion and death, applied by faith, purges the conscience from all dead works. So the same cleanses the heart from all unrighteousness." And when I got to thinking about this, is what the blood does is it takes away our guilt of our sin. We're cleansed. We've been forgiven. The guilt that we bore at one time is gone. And, you know, I know that I do. All the time, I'm always thinking back to my past, and I'm thinking about what I did before I got saved. And I'm, you know, for some reason, sad to say, but that's doubting God in a way that are you sure it's taken care of? Well, no, it's been thrown into the sea, and I've heard several people say you don't go fishing back in the sea for what's already been thrown out there. So your sins have been paid for, and there's no more guilt. We don't have to worry about those things of the past anymore because the Lord Jesus Christ's blood has taken care of that for us. And then in Hebrews 13:12, the verse there says that, wait a second, if y'all can find it. I'll be fine about 10 minutes after this is over. In Hebrews 13:12, it says here that, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." And I was looking up that word, sanctify, and it was telling to make holy and purify and to consecrate. And then you have to go stand in the mirror and look at yourself, and you got to go, holy, purified, and consecrated. And I just have a real hard time with that. And I was thinking about God. He wants to have a relationship with us. He wants us to worship, love, and adore Him. But you know, we would have nothing to do with Him before we accepted Christ as our Savior. And because of our sin, He could not have anything to do with us. We needed somebody. We needed someone to make us pure and holy before a holy God. And you can remember when Moses was looking at the train, he couldn't even look at God's glory. He couldn't look at His on Him because of the sin that was in him. He could not look at him. But because of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is, before we were saved, we didn't have a desire to do things that were honoring to the Lord. And after our salvation, he places a desire in our hearts to please him and to live for him. And when I started to think about that, how he has sanctified me and made me a new creation, and I can remember, and there's very few things that remember before I was saved. I know Jerry did, and I don't know if anybody else knew me, but I was living for Johnny Al, living for myself, thinking I was somebody else. And I was. I was a sinner. That's who I was. And I was trying to be cool, and I'd wear all these T-shirts and everything with this bad stuff written on them, and listen to all this bad music that wasn't glorifying to the Lord. And I can remember after I got saved, I went home, and I told this, there was a neighbor that came over to the house, and I went in my room, and I took all my music out, and I crushed all my CDs. And the lady was looking at me. She's like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" I said, I don't need this junk anymore. I don't need this stuff anymore. This ain't no longer part of me. I've been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ. He's placed a new desire in my heart, and that's to please him and follow him. And this stuff is not going to help me do that. And so those things I put away from myself. And now if we look at, this is going to be quick. For by one, Hebrews 10:14 through 10:20. And I'll give y'all a minute to look at that. This passage was really amazing to me because it gives me a place where the interesting thing about studying the blood of Jesus Christ is you can look at every scripture, and there's just about 50 billion ways you can look at the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, a lot of this stuff seems to overlap some, but it doesn't matter because, it's about the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's showing how much he did for us, sacrificing himself on the cross. In Hebrews 10:14 it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and whereof the Holy Ghost also is witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh." And I was thinking of this verse, and I know I read the whole thing, but I remember when I was studying this, I was like, I looked at that one verse that we were talking about, and I went back, I said, I can't just do that verse by itself. I got to do this whole thing so y'all understand what they're talking about. And so I went back and read through it all, and then you get down here to 19, it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." We can come at any point in time of the day into direct presence of God the Father. We do not have to worry about our sin. We don't have to worry about anything that divides us, because the Lord Jesus Christ has made it possible that we can have the confidence and go before the God the Father and say, "Hey, this is what I'm struggling with." Or, "This, I really appreciate you, Father, for what you've done for me." And you can do that. You don't have to be scared. And it was interesting when I was looking at that Adam Clark commentary that they talked about this part about the the high priest back in the day. And it says this is an allusion to the case of the high priest going into the Holy of Holies. He went with fear and trembling because if he had neglected the smallest item prescribed by the law, he could expect nothing but death. Genuine believers can come even to the throne of God with confidence as they carry into the divine presence the infinitely meritorious blood of the great atonement, and being justified through that blood, they have a right to all the blessings of the eternal kingdom. So we can come before God the Father with boldness. And when I look there, not even the high priest had that peace of mind that we have. You know, they could go in there thinking they did everything that God told them to do just so, and get in there and they did. Because they didn't do everything as it was prescribed. But we, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can go directly to the Father. There's no veil. Nothing to worry about. We can come directly into His presence. And another thing that the confidence is that we're going to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Father. It's, I was thinking about a brother, GW. Where's my brain? I'm nervous. He just passed away, and you know, I know I've mentioned it before in other, when I was speaking before, but you know, when you go to somebody's funeral and they're saved, I don't see that many sad faces on people. You know, I don't see that. I see people that are happy and they're rejoicing, and I know that GW, I know that he's before the Lord right now. We have that confidence. It says that that they have gone before us, but we can put our trust and confidence knowing that they're going to be there. And we know that we're going to be there someday too because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, this is faster. Man. Ray, you got to help me with this time thing. All right, let's look at Romans 5:9. I need to get me one of those backpacks with the water in it. Bring it. All right, in Romans 5:9 it says, "Much more than being now justified by His blood, we have been saved from the wrath to come." But through Him, excuse me. So I say justified, to declare one to be just, righteous, and such as he ought to be. This is what I found, such as he ought to be. When I was thinking about being justified, what was I thinking about when I was thinking about that? Okay, this is it says one of the quotes is Albert Barnes. He said that the fact that we are purchased by His blood and sanctified by it renders us sacred in the eyes of God. Sacred in the eyes of God. Bestows a value on us proportionate to the worth of the price of our redemption. And is a pledge that He will keep what has been so dearly bought. And so when I was looking through there, justifying, bringing me to the level of Christ. Hold up now. I don't mean I'm at the level of Christ. I mean, in heaven, when God looks down at me and He says, "This is for some reason I can't see Johnny because the Lord Jesus Christ is blocking the way. I can't see his sins anymore. He's been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Those sins are not held to Johnny anymore." And then he looks at us and he sees his son. And I just thought, He sees His Son. I mean, it's just hard to believe because I know my past. And I'm sure that there's things in y'all's past y'all probably can remember too. And you think, well, He don't see that no more. But He doesn't. He doesn't see it anymore. Okay, Ephesians 2:11. Man, Ephesians 2:11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. And of course, this is talking about, you know, back in the day, we weren't supposed to have nothing. You know, there wouldn't be no churches here. You know, if the Jews had accepted Christ, I wonder what would have happened, but I don't know, because that ain't what happened. Okay? But they rejected Christ, and because they rejected Him, He made it possible for everybody to be saved, all the Gentiles. So we're sharing in what the Jews were sharing in back in the day, and He is our God now. And it's because of the blood of Jesus Christ that we are able to have our salvation. If we hadn't had that, what would we have put our faith in? What would we have put our trust in? We couldn't be Jews, because they was a set people. So we needed a Savior, and the Lord Jesus Christ provided that. But I also, when I was thinking that, in the text it's talking about that, but when I thought about it, I was thinking about before I got saved, I was way over that way, and God was way over here, and I was lost in my sin. I was being selfish. I didn't care about nobody else but myself. And I had no desire to please God or no interest in spiritual things. But now we were right like this. We were right here. Me and God. Commune with Him, worship Him, praise Him. I'm aware of my sins now. I know when I sin. Before I didn't care. Now I care. So if I'm walking down the street and something, temptation or whatever it might be, I know about it. And God's placed that in my heart. And I believe it's because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that a lot of times now, not all the time, but I would say a lot more than I used to be, I think of other people before myself. I mean, I won't lie to you, there's still some time when you're looking out for number one, but we should be helping other people, and we should be witnessing to other people so that they can be made nigh to God and that they can share the same promises that we got because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:19 and 1:20. I'm going to make up for all that time that y'all stayed over for other people's messages. I'm giving it back to you now. Colossians 1:19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should all the... Wait a minute. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of Christ, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And when I started thinking about this verse, reconcile, what do I need to be reconciled for? I never did anything, did I? No, I had sin in my life. But the sin did not start until this day in Romans 5:12. Don't turn there, because I want y'all to listen to this. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. And nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abound unto many. And I was thinking about reconciliation. The reconciliation is mankind to God. We need to be reconciled with God. And, you know, in the beginning, Adam and Eve, they were there in the Garden of Eden, and they had it made. And everything was provided. Everything was great. But it wasn't enough. They wanted more. They wanted to be like God. They wanted more. Doesn't matter. You can play that blame game and all that stuff, but both of them got kicked out of the garden. Okay? And you know, a lot of people, you know, you think about when people, when we have a problem with somebody, how quick are we to reconcile it? I mean, I know I've been having a battle with some of my folks for a while. And even when you try to reconcile it, it still don't work out sometimes. But God, He, you know, I would have thought, you know, if we had been God, we would have said, hey, see ya. Too bad, you know, I don't have no part with you anymore. And, you know, go on His way. But He didn't. And I was thinking about what Brother Dave, is it Uncle Dave too? Or what, I don't know. But anyway, Sunday when he shared about God creating us, you know, I was thinking, when He kicked them out the garden, do you think He followed them? You know, they said that Adam was going to have to work by his brow, and he's going to be out there shoveling, and, you know, had to have some rain. God provided rain. And He planted, and I'm sure, and He had, and they lived. So God had to been there. He was still providing for them, even though He kicked them out the garden. He was still there for them. And He wanted to have peace with them. He wanted to be reconciled with them. And so He sent His Son. He sent His Son to the cross. And He said, I want to be reconciled with them. I want to be reconciled with all of y'all. That's what God says. And so He sent His Son to die on the cross to reconcile us to our Father and His Father. And now there's no longer any enmity between us and God, thanks to the shedding of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood. In a world where everyone wants to reject the blood and call the Lord Jesus Christ a man, it is evident by the word that there is much more to our Savior's blood than meets the eye. His blood has cleansed us. It's justified us. It's brought us closer to the Father. It's given us confidence in His promise. And it's reconciled us to God. And so for my brothers and sisters, I hope that this has brought a better appreciation to y'all about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And while we are constantly reminded of it by the cup we share on Sunday morning. So the question now is, where do you stand? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Did you know that there is power in the blood? Or could it be that you could gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Christ's blood can cover any and every kind of sin there is. And if there's anyone here who hasn't bent the knee of their heart and asked Him to cleanse them from their sin, You need to give this some consideration, because when he returns, it's going to be too late. So now I'd like us to sing, "What Can Wash Away Our Sin?" I mean, "What Can Wash Away My Sin?"